Some things shouldn't be transparent, like stop signs. But what you pay for should always be clear, like Hiller's True Transparency Pricing, always clearly itemized and never any hidden fees. Because you have the right to know what you're paying for. For more information, visit happyhiller.com/true-transparency-pricing. Happy you'll be, or the service is free.
Call the Happy Face Truck today.
Catch every second of the Vols in the NCAA tournament right here. Nashville's number one sports station, 104.5 The Zone.
NHL powered by the Tennessee Lottery on 104.5 The Zone. Tennessee survives and advances. That's what you do when you win in the NCAA tournament. 83-77 in overtime. It looked like it might be cruise fest, unless you're in Iceland, in the second half. Or maybe that is what it turned out to be. Grant Ramey, 24/7 Sports, joins us now. Grant, what's up? How are you, man?
I'm good. How are y'all doing today?
We're good. I'm wondering what the energy was like in the building as Iowa began to come back. At what point was it like uncomfortable, visibly uncomfortable for Tennessee fans?
Okay. Let's see. It was like 25 in the first half.
Yeah.
And Iowa went on like a little quick 5-0 run, got it back to 20. And Rick Barnes took a really quick timeout. And at that point, it was almost like, you know, they got it down to 20. That's funny. Take a timeout. Don't want to let them get on the run, because you're thinking this is, like you said, a cruise fest. The second half, the way Tennessee was missing shots, what Tyler Cook did for Iowa, he didn't score in the first half. He had 11 in the first few minutes of the second half. But once Tennessee started turning it over, they started 12-4 in the second half. Iowa did outscore Tennessee 12-4. Once they got it to like 15, it was like, uh-oh, here it goes again, because everybody's thinking about what Colgate did. And once an arena, especially when there's North Carolina and Washington fans in there, they don't really care who wins that game. They're pulling for the underdog, the team that was down 25.
Right.
Once those three started going in, the arena got behind Iowa. It was crazy to watch that unfold.
You know, it's funny. I don't think it was the intent, but it looked like Tennessee was just trying to take the air out of the basketball early in the second half, which goes against what got them that lead. And you've seen them do that from time to time this season with big leads. And they know that they're what leads them down that path, yet they still do it. It's kind of a concerning thing moving forward, I would think.
Yeah, it's definitely concerning when you're up 25 and you can't hold on to that lead, and that comes on the heels of a game where you're up 16 against the worst team, and you couldn't hold on to that lead either. It's a concern. I mean, Tennessee was in the situation on the other side of the situation against Auburn in the SEC tournament title game where they were down 20 in the second half. But every time they tried to make a run, Auburn just kept doing what Auburn did and hitting threes and playing fast and doing the offense that they do. I think that's what Tennessee's got to do. They don't need to take their elbow. They don't need to change anything on offense. They need to do what got them there. And that's play fast, try to get transition buckets, and just keep playing basketball.
We've talked a lot already this show, pretty much the entire show, about Admiral Schofield and him not in the game at the end of regulation, which Barnes had said that was coach's decision. But then his comments about saying, no, leave Kyle Alexander in during the overtime period because of what he was doing on the glass, and there's kind of two takes on it. There's actually probably a lot more than two takes, but there's the take of, okay, where's the killer instinct of him wanting to be on the floor? Then there's the other take of, wow, he's that in tune with this team, with the chemistry, with what they need at that point. What is your take on it after talking to all the guys in the locker room afterwards about it?
I think it was the right move. If you have four fouls, a defense is going to attack you. And we're talking overtime here. He wasn't in on the final possession of regulation when it was 14 seconds left to say a timeout, because that was the coach's decision. They liked the five they had on the floor. When it came to overtime, that's when he said, keep Kyle in. Kyle's a better matchup. Kyle's better against Tyler Cook. I mean, obviously, we saw what Tyler Cook did early in the second half. But they're going to attack him. Y'all guys, excuse me, my son is throwing a fit right now. But that, I mean, when you have those four fouls, they're going to attack you. And Tyler Cook attacked them early in the second half, and that's what happened. So I think the take is right. He wanted what's best for his team. I don't think there's anything wrong with killer instinct or anything like that. He did what he needed to do, and it was pretty selfless act. If you take everybody's word that this is really what happened, that he didn't want to go back in the game because he wanted his teammate to do what he was doing.
Yeah, one of the more selfless things we've seen from a big-time college player.
I mean, his career could have ended
overtime
set. On the bench.
Yeah.
Right.
Rick Barnes gets a Coach of the Year honor. I think anybody would agree that's a heck of a thing and well-deserved for him. I saw you had maybe some ill-timed questioning for him in his press conference right after that news broke. Is that right?
Yeah, that was not the most tactful situation in the world. They started the press conference by the U.S. Basketball Writers Association announcing this, that Rick had won the award, and nobody knew that it was coming. Rick didn't even know that it was coming. And they hand me the mic to ask the first question. I'm like, so what about all these leads you guys are giving up? So I guess congrats on the award, but can you hold on to a lead in the next round?
What do you think about this matchup with Purdue? Everything we read, it's kind of a 50-50 deal, and they've got one spectacular player in Carson Edwards who just went for 42.
Yeah, I mean, they're a good basketball team. They struggled earlier in the year, but when they got their stuff together, they got it together the right way, and they played really good basketball down the stretch here. The Big Ten is a really good basketball conference, and Purdue is one of the better teams in the Big Ten. I mean, Carson Edwards, the guy just went off against Villanova Friday night, I guess it was, in the first round, or the second round, I'm sorry, Saturday night when we scored 42. He made 9 threes. He's a really, really good basketball player, one of the better guards in the country. You would assume if you go off like that, there's no chance you're going to go off like that 2 games in a row, but or at least that's probably what Tennessee is hoping. But it's going to be a really good matchup. It's going to come down to guard play a lot and foul trouble situation. How much can they limit Carson Edwards? How well can they defend the perimeter? Tennessee's shown that they can play with anybody in the country over the course of the year, so they can play with Purdue. It's going to be a matter of who shows up and who does what they need to do at the right time.
Grant Ramey, our guest on 24/7 Sports. Not a great ending for Holly Warlick, and then not an endorsement from one of the players after the game. This deal, are we kind of seeing the end of the Holly Warlick era here, do you think?
It feels like it. I don't really know how you can bring her back at this point and kind of sell fans on what the future of the program is or where you're going moving forward. Just the year they had, the talent they have on this roster, they've had on these rosters over the years. It's just something's not working. And when somebody like Avina Westbrook says what she said after their season-ending game in the locker room, that she felt like there needed to be some kind of staff help or change or whatever the way she phrased it, it's going to open a lot of eyes. And if the decision hasn't been made yet, I don't know, but we'll see what happens. I would be surprised at this point if she came back just because of how bad this season was, how quiet it was. I mean, there's no energy around that program. It feels like there's no future. Right now, where is this direction headed? You got to figure that out, and you got to sell your fan base on what you're trying to build.
Yeah, it's interesting too. I mean, you've got like I watched the Mississippi State Tennessee game in the SEC tournament. Vic Schaefer at halftime. We talked about this a couple of weeks ago. At halftime, he said, "Well, they've got 7 McDonald's All Americans over there," and I think his point was, you know, we've got to be careful they could come back. But I also thought it was kind of a dig that they should be better than they are.
Right, and the problem, one of the problems here is just the optics of what Rick Barnes is doing with the men's program and their lack of McDonald's All-Americans, and everybody wants to talk about how much they've developed the talent that they have on this roster kind of out of nowhere. And then on the other side, with the women's roster, they have, like you said, all these multiple McDonald's All-Americans, you know, 5-star recruits, all this talent in the world, and it's just not working. And I don't think anybody wants to see it end or end badly
right.
because of who Holly is, a Knoxville girl who was Pat's right-hand coach. I mean, she's been here since the beginning and done so much for the university. But at some point, it's just not working out.
Grant Ramey, 24/7 Sports. Thanks, Grant. Appreciate you, man.
All right. Thanks, guys.
All right, Grant Ramey. He will be in Louisville on Thursday covering that game. Interesting storyline with Holly Warlick. We'll talk about that later. And if you're wondering, one of the players did kind of talk about, not kind of, she did talk about Holly Warlick moving forward with the Lady Vols after the game. And it's not an exiting senior. It's a current player that should be back next year.
Sophomore.
Which makes it number one point guard in the country 2 years ago. Vina Westbrook. So, yeah, we'll get into that. But when we come back, we'll talk about Vanderbilt. Bryce Drew gone. Where does Malcolm Turner turn for his next head coach? We'll talk about that when we come back.